Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Rookie Investor Podcast. This is Gareth, and I'm here with Phil, and this week we're going to be talking about household stocks. We're going to dive right in and get nice and dirty, aren't we, Phil? Go through some deep analysis of five household stocks.
We're going deep.
We're going to give you answers. We're going to give you questions. And most importantly, we're going to give you a good feel for what analysis is actually all about and how straightforward it can be at times. So, Phil, are you excited? We've done this with blue chip stocks.
Blue chip.
Which was actually very interesting. We pulled out a couple of good ones,
and find good information. And I think at the moment, household and blue chip stocks are good to shift towards. Markets have gone to higher highs, and we know that people get nervous whenever the market does that.
Yep, absolutely. You love it. So let's dive straight in. The first one, I'm going to say to you, I'm going to pull out my magic. It is Walmart.
Walmart.
So what we're doing here is Phil's basically live checking through his little insider knowledge sort of system.
Through your little system that you can't see.
No, I'm not allowed to. I'm not allowed to look at this. No, I'm not allowed. I'm just
shunned.
I'm just the janitor here who just randomly popped into this podcast studio.
My magic little Yahoo magic finance website that no one knows about except for 9 million people a month.
Shh! Don't let the secret out. Let's kickstart in Walmart. Let's see what it comes up with.
Walmart market cap $338 billion.
How does that compare to Amazon? I wonder. Amazon isn't a trillion, or is it?
No, I think it's far off a trillion.
It's pretty close. Because wasn't it? They were pretty close, but Amazon about 2 years ago surpassed.
Yeah.
Walmart, I think, or it was a couple of years ago.
It has had a 25% return in the past 12 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have assumed Walmart is, not going well, but okay.
Got a bit more room to move. If we have a look at different sort of numbers, a fair value, because it's currently at about $119 now.
Yep.
They've got a price target of about $136, they say, is kind of reasonable price on it. So that's about a 13% discount. The thing that I look for with these companies is I like going to their assets because their growth at this size and this type of company, they're not going to be huge growth.
Yeah.
And if I have a look at their growth now, some of the analysts are saying 3.5% a year. It's not neither here nor there.
No, that's pretty small. It's very small, actually, yeah.
What we want is their tasty, tasty balance sheet. I'm going to scroll down the bottom.
3%, yeah, that's low. That's a pretty non-interesting level of growth. Is that the company or the stock, or both?
Revenue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Revenue earnings. Which again, it's hard. How do Walmart grow when they're this size?
Yeah.
3% is actually pretty big for a company.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's got that distribution around the United States and the products and. To push that extra 3%.
No, that's a fair point, actually. I mean, they're not international, though.
No, and I don't know. Oh, they might be international. Are they outside of America?
Not that I'm aware of. If anyone's listening, can you tell us if they're international? I don't think they are.
Yeah, okay.
Or not to any great degree. I mean, Amazon's the opposite. Amazon is everywhere.
Yeah. And I don't know how the business model would go globally.
No.
It's the
same as Amazon. I mean, but the physical store thing. Well, I don't know. Costco does well here. I mean, Costco is another Walmart type. True. Oh, look, there's always room for the big box cheap stores. You know what I mean?
Cash. They have $8 billion in cash, which seems a lot lower than
that's not much.
Imagine. And $53 billion in debt.
Ah, okay, that's not much.
Their total net worth is $78 billion.
Yeah, okay.
If they had to sell everything and pay out all their debt, they'd kind of walk away with about $25 billion.
Yeah.
Just sitting there as a difference.
Yeah.
Which just kind of gives you that safety.
Yeah.
Means if it goes to zero or people want to opt out, sell it off, pay the shareholders, you'll get something.
And that's the thing with household type stocks. You know, we look at them when the market's looking like it may go down or... if you're at the beginning of a recession, because they're a safe bet, the increases won't be anywhere near as good as small cap or new stock, whatever it may be, but the losses aren't anywhere near as big either. So it is that safety net, as you say. And you think Walmart, they're not really, people will still be buying whatever Walmart sells, even if there's a recession. You know, they're not going to be hit as badly as other types of businesses out there.
I found something really, 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 really interesting.
This better be interesting, Phil, because you've done this before to me and it wasn't interesting.
Well, for a start, we're talking about stocks. So, I mean,
compared to Margot
Robbie just walked in a...
We've talked about Margot Robbie. We should do a show about Margot Robbie.
We should get her on.
We should get her on. Margot, if you're listening, come on the show.
The Walton family, Sam Walton was the founder of Walmart.
Yep.
I'm going to go through the last 12 months. Actually, I'll go through the last 6 months, how much that company or that family has sold
their
stock. We've got a transaction for $184 million, $143 million, $158 million, $246 million, $65 million, $163 million, $213 million, $269 million since February this year.
Wow.
That they've sold.
That's worrying. Yeah. Or is it just they want to get out?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or is it that their value is so big that's actually not that much money?
Well, yeah, it's not as...
Because they're still majority. They're still majority owner, aren't they?
Well, I'd want to find out how much of a percentage that is. Because generally, yeah, people sell for a number of different reasons. Liquidate their assets, take back some of the gain that they've had. If it's any more than 20% of their total holdings, that's concerning.
That's a trigger, yep, okay.
But I haven't seen that level of sales.
But you haven't heard about it, so that tells me perhaps...
Well, I'm thinking, have they sold? Have they opted out? Have they sold? Have they... Because I'm going back even November last year, they sold $260 million. December last year, $108 million. It's like a billion and a half worth of stock.
Yeah, but the value of the company is how many billion? Like
$338 million.
Yeah. So, and the Walton family are the majority owners. If not the only, I mean, besides the stock that's out there, I suppose.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it's something to look into, I think, definitely. If you were looking, and that's a really good example of the analysis that's, we've talked before, there's the kind of quantitative technical analysis, and then there's the qualitative stuff, which is actually as important. It's looking at what the owners are doing, what the managers are doing. Phil always goes back to looking at, you know, saying, if the manager's buying stock in a business, that's a good sign because it means that they're not only committed to that business, but they see that there's a future and there's growth in that business. So, and equally, if the manager or the owner start to sell a lot of stock, it's a massive red flag that they obviously have insider knowledge. They're seeing something happening that concerns them to the point of where they want to get rid of, relinquish control of the business or the entity. So that's interesting. I actually need to look into that. So really at this stage, we're saying Walmart, probably not on the basis of that, but you'd need to look into it a little bit more.
Yeah, the future doesn't look great. Some of the stats is, you know, the earnings grew by 179% over the past year. I'd have to have a look at that.
179%?
Yeah, that suggests to me that maybe they've sold an asset or something.
They must have. There's no way. If you're talking about 3% growth and the hundreds, there's something odd there. I think that would need further analysis, actually. Yeah, we'd hold our view on that one, yeah.
And I always find these American companies quite cute. And they're like, pays a higher dividend of 1.78% per year.
Oh, God.
I think a bank pays you that a month or something. Oh,
absolutely.
Their dividends pay like 7%.
I've got two kids, and if you leave money down for the fairies will give you a better bloody rate of return. I guarantee you, the fairies are actually very generous. All right, now that's interesting. So I think that's one where a little bit further needs to be dived into. Yep, absolutely. Which is all good. Next one I'm going to hit you with is, of course, Coca-Cola.
Coke
is the go-to stock for when things aren't going well, because Coke will never... not be around.
It'll never not be around. Are you calling that now?
Oh no.
Is that an exclusive?
Have I double negative myself here? It will never not be around. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It'll never not be around. Absolutely. It'll be here till kingdom come. The only way it'll not be around is if the board basically say we're shutting it down. What I mean is it can't fail as a company. It's impossible.
Oh, another big claim.
That isn't a big claim. That's like the littlest claim I've ever made. I've made much bigger claims than that, Phil. All right.
Let's have a look at Coca-Cola. They are $228 billion in market cap. Their share price has also done not so bad. What are we? 9% over the year. 12.5% with dividends. Pretty much on value-ish. trading around $48 a share.
Yep.
Target's around that kind of 50 area, so that seems quite good. Price to earnings is pretty much aligned with the industry, 28.
Okay.
So
that's sitting about right. What's the debt like?
Yeah, future growth is 9% on earnings.
Yep.
Not kind of
massive. I think, look, that's one where, and it's maybe worth a bit more analysis as well, but the reality is that is like a safe bet. I mean, if there was a crash in the Australian market, you know, put your money in something like Coca-Cola, where you know even if there is a reduction, it's going to be a small reduction in the value. And, you know, it'll hold its own because it's such a big company. It's so ubiquitous. Everywhere you go, people know Coke. Like, it's so ingrained in people's lives and cultures.
Yeah, they have more short-term liabilities than assets at the moment, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because their cash is 12 bill. The debt, though, is $42 billion.
Maybe I should take back that big call I just made.
Having said that, you know, the short-term assets, 23 bill, short-term liabilities, 25. But you look at long-term assets, are $64 billion, and long-term liabilities are $41 billion.
Yeah.
Still worth having a bit more of a look at that.
Yeah, okay.
Depends what those long-term assets are. 3% dividend yield. Yeah, nothing overly exciting.
No.
It may have reached its...
It sounds like it's about where it should be.
Yeah.
Yep. You're not going to get growth, but you probably wouldn't get a massive loss either if things, you know, as a household stock. But yeah, it doesn't sound like one that's going to be particularly exciting at this stage.
No, nothing going on.
Next one then. Let's move along swiftly. Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson & Johnson.
Which I've used their products regularly with two kids. It's probably actually
I hope this one's exciting. The first two have been kind of bland.
Yeah, but it's household stocks, man. Like, this isn't your cray-cray small cap business.
Everyone's going to go invest in Bitcoin after this.
Oh, my Lord. Like, nah, actually, I'm... Hodl. I love that. No, Bitcoin has its place.
Johnson & Johnson. New York Stock Exchange. Market cap is $361 billion.
Nice.
That's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, they're massive, man. They're everywhere. They're
massive.
Oh, my God.
God, bro. 1 year return is minus 3%.
Okay.
That's not bad because they got hammered with...
Yeah.
What was in their powder? Were they talking...
Oh, yeah. They've had a couple. They've had a couple of instances of things. It's cancerous, basically. They're talking about it's cancer. Yeah, it was massive. That's
not a bad result for someone who's gone through
cancer. No, they've gone through, yeah. Well, the thing is, they're one of these businesses that got so many products. Like, they're, you know what I mean? They can spread all of that. So that, a normal business, that would have smashed them. Because you literally, I mean, how do you get around? Your product causes cancer. Like, that's just the worst of the worst. But yeah, so how are they looking in terms of debt? And
Share price, assets? They say the future fair value is about $184 as a price target. They're at $137.
Oh, okay.
25%.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
And that's looking at... The way that worked out, discounted cash flow, I was looking at free cash flow in a company.
Yep.
Income minus expenses, less, not including interest payments.
That's quite good. So the potential.
Price to earnings is high, 25.8, industry 16.
Okay. That's interesting. What does that say, though? What is that?
Well, it just means people are willing to pay more to own that stock than anyone else, which, again, is not necessarily a bad thing.
So remind me again, Phil, what that's about. That figure you put out, that the 25.8, that's saying people will pay $25.8 to get $1 of profit for the company. Yes. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, just to, yeah. Yeah.
Future growth, 9%.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, that's actually quite an interesting one.
Yeah.
As a, you know, as part of your stable of stocks. I'm
trying to see how many. Yeah, that's from 18 analysts, so... That's a decent size.
That's pretty good. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So that's potentially one.
9%. Total, like, long-term assets, $111 billion to long-term liabilities, $62 billion. So they're probably the got the most equity
out of
the companies we've covered so far. They've got a bit of, a few assets.
And they all, they also would have the power to bring on new products. A lot of their stuff would be...
That would be streamlined.
It would be.
Throw something into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
18 bill in cash.
Yeah, okay.
29 bill in debt.
Yep. That's
yeah, 58 bill equity.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a potential. That's okay. Dollars. Yeah, yeah. No, that's very good. So yeah, that's one to look at. The next one is we're going to go from rash cream to a rash of a company. No, I was trying to find a segue there. Apple. So Apple. Jump on Apple. Neither myself or Phil are Apple fans in terms of our products.
No, I like things that are easy to use.
Yeah, and don't tie you in. I don't like the way they tie you into, like, you have to use iTunes. You
having
have
said
to
that, I do have an iPod, but
oh,
apart from that, I'm not an Apple man.
Yeah, no, you're not, no. So, yeah, let's have a look. So this is Warren Buffett's sort of at the moment he quite likes. Well, not at the moment, but he's beginning to understand the value in Apple.
186, I think Warren Buffett got in per share.
Okay, 186.
$1.2 trillion market cap.
So they are the first $1 trillion company.
I think so.
I believe so. Yeah.
The return this year 52.5%.
Wow, God, that's big for a company of that size.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's massive. Interesting. Yeah.
We're also in a massive bull market. Future value, they're looking at $191. For the stock, currently trading at 266.
Yeah, okay.
Again, that's hard to do for high growth tech companies.
Yep.
Price to earnings is about average. It's 22.
Yep.
Industry is also 22.
Yeah, right.
Again, for a tech stock, that's quite reasonable.
That's pretty low, actually. Yeah, or reasonable. Yeah. Yeah.
They say future growth, 3.6%. Is everyone just concerned about the market next year?
That's is that odd more reflective to me. Than yeah, well, that's the problem because it's
double digits.
No, and that's odd to me, unless they're also waiting to see what Apple are bringing to the table. Because at the moment, Apple are kind of treading water slightly. They're releasing new versions of the iPhone. You know, they're releasing various versions of the iPad and things like that. But there's no real breakthrough product. And to be honest, I don't get a sense they have a breakthrough product in them, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And I think we've spoken before about what Tim Cook has said is that he's moving towards wearables and towards Apple Pay and towards a slightly, I mean, not completely, but he's putting more effort into those areas.
And I think people kind of got fatigued with breakthrough products, if you look at it.
Yeah.
Like you had iPod, how many releases of an iPod came out?
Yeah.
Like 40 different versions.
Absolutely.
And then you had however many phones, and then you had an iPad, then you had
the iPad, yeah. And then on the Macs, which is the laptops.
It's an interesting strategic move, because naturally going into that, you think, okay, what's our next big release? Whereas to...
And that's the thing you see also from my perspective, the market's caught up quickly. So when Apple in 2001, was it the iPod came out, I think, around that time, there was nothing out there. I mean, nothing, you know, now you've got 15 Chinese phone companies all competing with the same thing, all producing phones of the same quality of the iPhone for half the price. And I think that's a sensible move. It's a sensible play from Apple because Apple have realized, you know, they can't keep on doing that product thing because other people have caught up. So they have to look at something that's a bit more longer term.
And they Apple want your Play data.
Makes a lot of sense. They want your data.
How much you're spending and where you're spending it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where the money, it's big data. That's where there's going to be a lot of money in that. I'm with you. So yeah, that's probably not one particularly at the moment to look at then.
They got so much cash, 100 bill.
Oh yeah, I know. And they don't use it. I know.
100 bill and about 100 bill in debt.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that sort of doesn't mean much. Yeah, they'll borrow at that, whatever, 0.5% interest. So probably not on Apple. Let's hit the final one. Then is another one, which you'll probably be like, oh God, this is so boring. Shell. Lime.
What does Shell do?
Yeah, I'm interested to know. Have Shell been hit by the sustainable energy thing? Have they been hit by climate protests? Or are they still chugging along, pumping out their beautiful, wonderful...
Yeah, are they... What stock market are they on?
Possibly European. Let's have a look.
Dutch.
The Dutch Shell. Yeah, that's right.
Shell. Headquartered in the Netherlands, incorporated in the United Kingdom.
Oh, so they're on the FTSE.
So my rule is that I only look at the country that it's based in, because you can do multiple listings.
Oh, yes. They're based
like in UK, but on the American, I go UK.
So you'd look at the UK, yep.
So their market cap is £179 billion.
Okay, so that's about, what's that? Probably close. It'd be over $300 billion US dollars. Yeah,
more experience in that part of the world than, yeah, than Phil.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a pretty. Actually, they've all been around the same. Well, yeah, Apple isn't
pretty close.
It's been pretty. Apple, but, yeah. All the rest have been largely similar.
Interesting. Lost 5.5% this year. They're down 5.5%.
Yep. All right.
I mean, how much of that's to do with the Brexit and the chaos over in that?
They would definitely be impacted by that because of the currency rate, yeah. But what's interesting, what's the kind of, let's say over the last 5 years, are they on a downward trend? You see, what interests me in companies like that is...
Yeah, 5 years is only 2.7% gain.
Yeah, okay. You see, I'm
pretty plateaued.
It's this is my thing. I think a lot of these, the oil and gas companies, they have plateaued because, well, oil prices have been fairly consistent. I mean, they jump up and down, but they seem to be returning to a standard sort of level. And I think companies this as well, they are, even though they won't say it, they are being impacted by renewable energy, undoubtedly. As renewable energy is becoming more popular, these companies are getting hit by it. Now they're turning to renewable energy as a way to boost
what they're doing. They pay a massive dividend.
What do they pay?
To give you an idea, if we look at the returns, I've got a button here I can switch on and off. So over the last 5 years, they've returned 2.7% growth.
Mm.
If we put dividends in there, they've returned 41.7%, including dividend reinvestment.
Oh, my God. So what's the... Jeez.
So the dividend's about 6.5% per
year. That's savage, yeah. And you were saying that the US doesn't do dividends, but Australia does good dividend.
Australia does, and apparently UK.
Yeah, wow. That's massive. But that's interesting, actually. But I wonder, is that also tied into the fact that it's like an older school company? Like, I don't know if tech stocks do it as well, because people in tech stocks are young people. They don't think like that. Like, Shell's been around a long time. There's a lot of probably institutional investors in there. Is that part, I don't know, you know what I mean? Is that part of their play, their attraction for investors?
Potentially. I think it's the accounting principles of different countries.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, I know in Australia and America, our companies like looking good to shareholders, so they'll pump up assets and they'll pump up and make themselves look really good.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the downside is that you're going to get hammered with tax because the tax office will come after you. Yes. European countries such as Switzerland don't want to look as good to their shareholders because that means that they can hide their assets to the tax office. So they're like, we don't have any assets, actually. We're
just really? Going, yeah. I didn't, that's interesting.
And that's where, it's probably changed a bit over recent years, but I was reading this investing book saying there was a big opportunity in Europe because if you actually pulled out their balance sheet and found their assets were very different or tied up somewhere else, this company's significantly undervalued because they're downplaying their assets to avoid tax.
But if they're always downplaying, how can you get a benefit? Because the investors is based on it's based on people's view of that company.
Yeah, well, they still have, the growth was there as well.
Yeah,
it comes back to that book value.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, so yeah, there you go. So interesting. So yeah, wow, that's a hell of a dividend payment.
Undervalued, they're about almost £23 a share. They say it can hit $34.67.
Yeah, okay.
So that's about 35% undervalued.
So potential opportunity in there.
Price to earnings ratio is 11.7, but the industry is 7.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen an industry in single digits.
Oh, right. But is that, okay, is that the began? It's,
what's going on over there with their
But it's fossil fuels. It's like, fossil fuels, there's no great breakthrough. You just, like, they're taking a raw product and then they're refining it and selling it. Like, there's no tech, there's no kind of product that, you know what I mean?
That'd be my sense of it. I can assume that's a reflection of people opting for sexier investments.
Why
pay $7 to earn $1 when you can jump on Netflix and pay $145?
I massively think so. But even non-risky sexy, like you hop onto Alphabet or you hop onto, well, Apple maybe not so much, but you hopped onto Apple at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
They're safe as houses, but they're going to give you a hell of a return. I think that's right. I think these sorts of companies, people are saying, you know, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to get the return. I know what they do. Like, their profits are their profits, and they're not. There's no great breakthrough for them. They're not able to. You know, it also doesn't help. You know, they're controlled, or they're oil is controlled by different entities. You know, there's all these different factors involved. There's the sustainability thing, the environment thing. So, yeah, I think that, that to me, does actually make sense.
Their assets are massive.
Yeah, that's, I can imagine.
Almost $310 billion long-term assets.
Wow.
And $128 billion long-term liability.
Yeah, that's savage. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It means if they had to close down, sell everything, they'd have $192 billion left over.
It's pretty, yeah. And that, again, reflects probably they've been around a long time. They've got a lot of companies and a lot of sub-companies, and they've got a lot of different businesses going on, a lot of physical stuff as well, all their oil rigs and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, right, interesting. So, yeah, that's one to potentially look at if you're interested in dividend investing. 6.5%. Yeah, no, that is savage. So, look, that was a quick run through. We just like to do this every so often just to show that we do actually know what we're talking about, and also to give you guys the opportunity to get a sense of what's out there in the market. This one wasn't, you know, the most exciting in the world, but it's a really good way to get a sense of these sorts of companies. People talk about Walmart and Apple, and you might hear people saying, oh, get, invest in Apple, you know, just as a standard thing.
I mean, the companies Buffett likes, though. He likes boring and simple.
He does, for a longer term, yeah. So, that's, yeah, yeah.
And this is a time to start looking at them if the economy's about to switch.
That's right. So, no, definitely worth getting in on the household stocks thing. So, as always, thank you very much for listening. We hope that was as interesting for you as it was for us. And don't forget to check us out, Facebook page. Hop on, huge amount of information on there. Lots of chat, lots of questions, lots of answers. Really, really, really good resource if you've got any interest in investing. We're just search Cheeky Investor on Facebook and like our page, and you'll start getting through lots of feeds. We post regularly. It's really, really good. Any questions, hop on there. Just get on to me or Phil, and we'll help you out, answer your questions. So thank you all for listening. And as always, we'll catch you next time.